Can you tell our listeners a bit about your experience of spiritual awakening?
Sure. I mean, for me, there was a couple of really significant moments. I'll just describe them very as briefly as I can, but try to give you all the important points. The first one happened after some years of real strident seeking. Really trying to have a breakthrough, meditating a lot, hours and hours, and just really, really sort of hyper focused on it. And I got to a point where I just felt completely defeated. I'm sure many people listening to this have felt that at times, but I remember I sat down once and I was pushing myself so hard, you know, in meditation to cut through my thoughts and to just sort of penetrate into something. I didn't even know what it was. But I sat down and sort of this, it all coalesced at one moment. And I just said to myself, as I was sitting there just about to meditate, I just can't do this anymore. I just can't. And at that moment, it was like a nuclear explosion went off inside of me. It was actually violent. It was a very violent experience in the sense that the energy I felt was just ripping me apart. And, you know, my heart was beating extremely. You know, I'd been an athlete. I know what a 200 beat heartbeat feels like. I was very acquainted. And I was way, way, way past that. And I really felt like my heart's going to explode. And so I was feeling just ripped apart by this energy. And a thought just came out of nowhere, just in the midst of this chaotic, violent kind of experience. Just a thought that I thought, if this is what it's going to take for me to be free, If I'm going to die today, if I just let go to this, because I literally thought I would die physically if I just let go, if I didn't run away. And I just thought, I've got to find out. I've got to know what happens. And somehow something just let go. It was the simplest letting go. It wasn't courageous. It was just like I was actually willing to die at that moment. And I just let go. And like in the snap of a finger, I was in a completely different dimension. There was no body, there was no mind, there was nothing to see, there was nothing to feel. There was literally nothing there. There was nothing there, there was no one there. That's probably as far as I wanted to describe, because the more I describe, the more image it makes. And it was the complete absence of all that. And yet somehow there was no fear. There was just a feeling of absolute freedom. Absolute freedom. And all the questions I had struggled with, all the issues that I had had, I just felt, even though I couldn't feel my body at all, that somehow that these insights were flooding into me like 100 every second, so fast that I couldn't even record even a small fraction of them consciously, but they were like little lights going off or popcorn popping. And at some point it was happening so fast that I couldn't even register anything near. And it was just like something was literally like being poured into me, like liquid insight just poured in and poured in and poured in. And it went on for I don't know how long. It was a very timeless experience. And at some point I kind of started to come back to my bodily awareness, you know, and surprisingly my body was just sitting there in total calm. There was no energy left in it. There was no heartbeat, you know, that was out of control. Everything was totally fine and in a strange sense, absolutely ordinary. And after a while, I was just sitting there and I thought, okay, well, I got up and sort of bowed to my little Buddha statue that I had in my little meditation hut in the backyard. And as soon as I bowed, I just started laughing hysterically. Just, it was just that seemed the most absurd thing that I'd ever seen, that this Buddha figure represented to me in a symbolic way everything that I'd been chasing, everything that I'd wanted, you know? What is this Buddha nature? What is this divinity that this symbol represents? And all of a sudden, when I bowed, somehow I knew without any doubt that the thing I'd been chasing was the thing that I am, that I was what I was chasing. And it just seemed like the most absurd, ridiculous joke that I'd ever heard. And the joke was on me, and I didn't mind at all. You know, and I just laughed and laughed of how ludicrous this was. And so in the days after that, in the weeks, I wasn't like floating in any particular space, you know. I was, all the seeking energy was gone. I didn't feel driven in any way. That was really nice. There was no drive, because why be pursuing what I know I am? But there's something that's interesting that happened right at the door of my little meditation hut when I was leaving. I opened the door, and right as I opened the door, this little, I call it the still small voice. And it was the place that I always knew. It always told me the truth. And that still small voice said to me, "This isn't the all of it. Keep going." And at that moment, I felt so disappointed. Because a minute later, I was just hysterically laughing at the absurdity of chasing this eternity and realizing that I was eternity. And now this voice is saying, "This isn't the all of it. Keep going." And I just kind of felt like, oh no, you can't be. And then literally like within a few seconds, I realized that it wasn't discounting what I realized. Nothing said that what I realized wasn't real or true. It was just telling me there's more to the picture. Don't fixate here. Don't stop here. And so even though I had no seeking energy, no drive, you know, to attain, I knew that it was told me the truth. I knew that there was more. There was a deeper clarification that was going to come, that came about, gosh, it was a while later, probably 6 or 7 years later, when it was a totally different experience. When I, again, they always happen when I first sit down to meditate, not even when I really got into meditation. But one morning, I sat down to meditate. I used to meditate early in the morning, a couple of periods of meditation before I would go see my teacher on Sunday mornings and meditate with her group and see her. So I was sat down to meditate. And again, just as soon as I sat down, I heard there's a bird outside, and I heard the bird. And again, up from my guts, not from my head, because I had never thought of this question or anything, up from my guts, this little question came up, and it just said, "Who hears this sound?" And all of a sudden, the bird call, the sound, and my hearing of the sound were all one event, just one thing. There wasn't me sitting on the chair, meditating, hearing a bird. There was just this one thing. And this was different, you know, than what happened before. That was like getting blasted into total emptiness before. Transcendence. This was, I was very much here. It was almost like that transcendent energy entered into human form, displayed itself as the world. And so once again, I sat there for a while, But there was no, the beauty of it, it was like this pure experience. There were no, even though now it's still emotional to me to describe it to you, as you can tell. But at that moment, there was no emotion to it. There was no byproduct. There was no bliss. There was no expansion. There was so, which was beautiful because there was nothing to get in the way of seeing what the truth of it was, to have the absolute perception with no experiential byproduct, you know, that I was going to try to hang on to later. It was just so pure and so simple and so immediate. And I got up after a while, once again, and I did what I do because I'm a very sort of practical person by nature, you know. And so I got up and I just wanted to see if I wanted to test it, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I started to look at the most inanimate things I could, the little tiny refrigerator that at that time we lived in a 400 square foot cottage where a refrigerator was 2 feet tall. And I looked at the refrigerator and sure enough, me and the refrigerator was one, and the perception of it was one happening. And I went all through the house and looking at that, you know, I went into the bathroom. I literally looked at the toilet because I was literally kind of like testing it, you know, can I find separation anywhere? And I went in the bedroom, I opened the bedroom door, Mukti was still asleep, my wife, and sure enough, it was just like there I was sleeping. Yeah. And then I, you know, was starting to get ready to go see my teacher, and it was the feeling, though, was after I went in the bedroom and I came out in the little living room area, I'm kind of getting ready. The fascinating thing was that everything I did, every step across the floor, I felt like I'd just been born. Like something opened its eyes. That had never been here. That's what it felt like. I'm not saying that that's what happened. That's a way of describing the experience. Like something was here for the very first time. And everything was for the first time. And yet it was wonderfully ordinary, just ordinary. There was no fireworks. And I went off and went to see my teacher and went about the day. And I didn't even bother to mention it to her for 2 or 3 months because it was so sufficient. You know, I didn't need acknowledgement. I didn't need it to such an extent that it never even occurred to me to tell it to her until after about 2 or 3 months later, I thought, oh, it would be kind. It would be proper that this thing that she tried to point me to over, you know, all these years that I would tell her about it. And that was the only impetus. And so I shared it with her and then went on about my day. And as revelation goes, it's never left me. It doesn't got that sort of wow, for the first time, I've never seen this feeling to it, because now I've been, you know, existing within that for 20 years or something. Now it's become more ordinary, but as you can see, when I describe it, it's still of deep significance, and it's still always with me, and I'm often struck by at many odd moments that I'll feel like the first time for something, you know, the first time of walking somewhere, or I'll be drinking and all of a sudden it's like I've never drank, it's just for the first time. And it, but it's not like it didn't have like the me going, ooh, wow, the first time, isn't this fantastic, isn't this great. It's all there was. There wasn't a reflecting on it. It's all there was. So those are two, you know, moments. The last one is very brief, that a year to the day, to the very day, which I always thought was the strange ways that life weaves together. I'm Mukti's my wife, and she's comes from an Irish family, and so they have Irish roots in Ireland, and I had this awakening I just described on St. Patrick's Day. And a year to the day after that, on St. Patrick's Day, which never held a great significance to me, you know. I didn't even know it was St. Patrick's Day until later in retrospect. But a year to today, then the last thing was just sitting on the couch one day reading a book and just being done reading, and I put the book down and I stood up from the couch and it was like I left something behind. I didn't know what it was. Like, it was simple, you know. I was just like, I left something behind. Just like that, I thought, what did I leave behind on the couch? I got up, and something didn't get up with me. Something that had just, you know, kind of like been with me. And later that day or that night, I didn't even think about it much after that. It was a curiosity. But that night I was getting ready for bed. I sat down on the edge of the bed, and all of a sudden it struck me. Oh, I lost myself. And it was just the simplest recognition, you know. Again, no fanfare, but just, oh. And now the way I describe that when someone asks me about it is like, what was that like? And I think the most concrete way I can put it is that I lost my inner life. That, you know, that life where you sort of process through things and the sort of narrative that's talking to itself about everything. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to say that there's never a thought that flows through my head, but it's not of a narrative quality, that I've lost any kind of sort of mental processing thing just disappeared. It just is gone. And so there's a different way of experiencing almost everything. You know, and then, but those are significant moments, right? There's significant moments, but to me, it's not just about the significant moments. You know, then there's sort of this, there's specific discrete moments. And then there's also what I think of as, here I'm 20 years later or more, and there's still like an awakening. It's the verb of awakening that's continued, that there's just, seems to be just an ever deepening clarification of what was realized in those moments, and an ever deepening capacity and ability to embody it, you know, in my humanity, which seems to, I don't see an end to that capacity to embody. And I'm always noticing that, you know, oh yeah, there's a new way to embody. There's a more precise way, or a way that feels more integral or more whole. So there's awakening as a verb too, that continues, and it keeps a humility there, you know, because whatever I thought was, might have thought was sort of all-inclusive last week, I realized, you know, at some point, oh, there's another way to look at the same thing.